Welcome to Coffee Calm Connections podcast with your hosts, Sarah and Stuart. You'll hear from people like us, people like you, and together we'll find ways to make personal development easier and more accessible.
Hello, Sandra. I'm so happy to have you here on what we've been planning for the best part of 18 months, is it?
Must be.
Well, welcome to Coffee Calm Connections podcast. Delighted to finally be doing this. It's a really important topic, I think, because I personally have a lot of colleagues and friends that have suffered with what we're about to talk about. So would you like to just give a bit of an intro to you and then tell us about the topic and why we're talking about it today?
Sure. So thank you so much for having me. As you said, we've been planning this for way too long, so I'm really glad we're doing it now. So my name is Sandra Lewin. I work in the insurance industry. I currently run my own business. I am a mum. I am pretty busy with running all sorts of things in my business as well. And what we are here to talk about today is something called endometriosis, which is a condition that's a study from back in 2017, but I think it's still very valid, says that it affects 1 in 10 women. So if you think about how many women you know, how many suffer, it's not well talked about, but it very much impacts every day of life of anyone that suffers with it. And in the endometriosis world, I would call myself a endo warrior or endo sister. So that's a little bit about me.
That's fabulous. I love endo warrior or endo sister. I think it's got a ring to it. A lot of people will have heard of endometriosis and they will go, oh, it's something to do with like periods, and that's probably as far as they know. So and I possibly am including myself in that. Can you tell me, what is endometriosis? What are the symptoms and what are the effects on somebody's life?
Sure. So endometriosis is actually often, there's a very important word with the definition, which is called similar. And endometriosis is where a tissue similar to the one that's within your womb grows outside of the womb in other areas of the body part. Endometriosis is often forgets to use that word in the definition. So I've actually, and a lot of women lobbied BBC at some point, because BBC did a lot of campaigns around endometriosis, which was amazing, but they kept on using the wrong definition. They kept on forgetting the little word similar. And the reason why it's so important to identify the word similar to the lining of the womb is that back in the day, a lot of women who were diagnosed with endometriosis would have straight away been sent to have a hysterectomy, and that would have been a solution. But actually, that's not the case, because the tissue behaves differently, plus it grows anywhere in your area. So I've actually known of women who had endometriosis in their eye, in the skin, you know, which is just mind-blowing. And myself, I had it on diaphragm, which can effectively, if it's not treated, go into your lungs and collapse your lungs. So it is so much more than our womb and our periods, and that's why it's so important to actually understand the definition, because that then follows the treatment and the symptoms. So when we talk about symptoms, yes, painful periods, definitely. However, again, very often women suffering with painful periods are actually suffering from another condition, which is even less known, which is called adenomyosis, which is when the tissue of the womb grows outside of your womb. So very similar, but often misunderstood. What often endometriosis comes with is actually, is misdiagnosed for IBS, because it comes with digestion issues. So that's another symptom. Severe mood swings. So a lot of women would experience mood swings when it comes to their cycle, but endometriosis creates a severe version of it. And it can lead to sort of depression kind of feelings, because it's just so severe and it jumps because your hormones are very much out of balance. And if you have what is no longer referred to as kind of a stage four, that the stages got removed. But if you have endometriosis, this sort of somewhere around your bowels, then you will experience actually back pains, severe back pains. You may also have UTI very often, especially around your cycle. And one symptom that it's taken me a good couple of years to actually convince doctors that it's a real symptom, until I met an actual specialist who's helped me, is a shoulder pain. So shoulder pain around your cycle. So if you have a period and your shoulder is hurting, then that most likely means you have endometriosis on your lungs or diaphragm. And the reason why you're experiencing these pains is, think about your period, the tissue breaks down, bleeds, and then it's released in normal circumstances. What happens with the endometriosis tissue is trapped. So if it's grown on your bowels, if it's grown on your diaphragm, if it's grown on your stomach, on your bladder, then it bleeds monthly as your cycle does, but it has nowhere to escape. So you basically have internal bleedings every month, and that blood has nowhere to go. So then it starts clattering and creating tumors. And then those tumors are big and they start to pressure, obviously, on your body. And obviously internal bleedings, you know, not a fun thing to experience. So it's so much more than period pain. And it can be so often misdiagnosed for so many different other conditions because the way it behaves and because where it is and where it's often positioned.
I didn't know any of that. Like, that is blown my mind. I had no idea that it actually could be in all parts of your body, but actually behaves like a period. Like, that's insane.
It's brutal and it's horrible. And obviously I'm not touching on the very obvious symptoms, fertility issues, you know, a painful intercourse, all these kind of stuff that's all linked to it because of where it can sort of grow and become a tumor-like. So they actually called them tumors in three different areas. There were really big tumors because it was 17 years of untreated endometriosis and a very severe one, so all spreaded. And I've met women, actually one of the ladies that was a what they call stoma nurse, because I had to have a stoma for a period of time. She actually had endometriosis when she was younger that converted into cancer. And that's something that is not often spoken about because, again, there isn't enough studies done that can medically confirm that's a position. But there are circumstances where endometriosis becomes cancerous. Now, exactly how that happens, you know, is not medically explained yet, but I know there are instances and she experienced that.
That makes sense, actually, because I have a friend who has endometriosis and she had some blood tests done and they looked at her CA125 levels in her blood, which I know to be the ovarian cancer marker. And I know that from my mother-in-law. And one of the things that came up was that her CA125 levels were very high. So they were checking for everything, and endometriosis is what ended up happening. So I can see, like, the logic in how that would be. It's sort of the science, I suppose, if it's the same markers. Yeah. But it's really quite heartbreaking for 1 in 10 women, particularly because it's so misunderstood. Mm. I mean, I am a woman and I have friends with endometriosis and I have just learned a huge amount from you. Mm. How do they test for endometriosis? What sort of tests do you have?
So, This is a controversial opinion, but in the UK on NHS and in any sort of UK foundation, so there's a great foundation called Endometriosis UK who do amazing work lobbying at the government. The definition of a diagnosis is that you have a laparoscopy, so a keyhole surgery, so very tiny cuts in your body, and they take a tissue and they test it and then they confirm that that's endometriosis. And that's how you get diagnosed. The that is theoretically true, because unless you take the tissue and test it, you're not 100% sure that is endometriosis. However, where the controversial view comes in, and I do argue that view quite frequently, is unfortunately a lot of women are diagnosed, so the keyhole surgery will take place without any scans, without no preparation. It literally is open, let's have a look. Yep, that's endometriosis, let's close you up. And I had that operation. The problem is when you do that diagnosis, you touch the tissue and you make the symptoms severely worse after. So that's one way to do it, but I always say that, I'm Polish, I've actually been rejected on NHS for treatment for endometriosis initially because of complexity of my situation. So I seeked help in Poland, and that's when I got introduced to this whole idea of actually there are specialists out there who can do a MRI scan. It's a very long MRI scan because it's 45 minutes. You get a dye injected into you so they can really see everything flowing. And they can actually, so the diagnosis that I had from that MRI scan stood by all the operations, right? They saw everything everywhere where it was. They also did a normal scan, into vaginal scan, and that as well, you know, showed up a lot. But it comes from a specialist consultant who knows, who literally does only endometriosis, that can actually identify this. It has to be a specialist reader of their MRI scans to see all that. The reason why I always say try to look for a doctor that actually offers that first, and I know in the UK there are specialists like that, because a long story short, I went Poland, COVID happened, my operation got cancelled. I then thankfully was had a private healthcare through my corporate role at that time, and I found an amazing doctor, Mr. Tsepov, in London, who just absolutely blew my mind, but he also offered that kind of support. So there are doctors like that that do the MRI scans. The reason why I say it's better to get diagnosed first that way is because that allows the consultant to prepare for your operation. So when they do go in to really diagnose you 100%, they do the keyhole, they can already prepare to remove some of the endometriosis. So it's not just probing and being like, oh yeah, that's it, but it's actually, let's go in with a plan and do something. I know myself, I had the probing operation, absolute hell for 2 years after that probing operation. And I know plenty of young women, and I say young because this is the women that I have been speaking to, so they're in their early 20s, they're already suffering, so we're trying to, you know, move something along. And they have this diagnosis operation on NHS, and they come out far worse than they were before. So it's a long way to answer, but it's just, I really want to highlight that, yes, the laparoscopy is important to really diagnose it, but try and look for a doctor that does the scans first to try and really build that picture of where it is and how severe it is. There is an argument, and I had that conversation with a nurse actually in the clinic in Guy's Hospital, that in some cases endometriosis doesn't show up on scans. It is very, I have spoken to a number of consultants now who do the scans, and they say that it's so rare that it doesn't show up. In most cases, it does show up, especially if it's a severe version. So not a straightforward answer.
No, but really, really informative. And I often wonder about different medical practice across different countries, having experienced different countries and different medical practices in different areas. And often what you take as red is blue in a different country. And I find it really interesting that you've had both perspectives. So where are you at now? So where are you at now? What are you experiencing, and how do you kind of manage life accordingly?
So I consider myself very lucky, but that it didn't come at difficult decisions. So I've just kind of, it's important to know where I was in order to understand where I am now. So I've had a, so I went on for 17 years, since basically probably 2 years of being on period, absolutely agony every month. And I went on for 17 years, seen countless amount of doctors, being told I'm crazy, being told I make up stuff, which is actually quite common. On average, it takes 8 years for a woman to be diagnosed with endometriosis. And most of women, by the time they get diagnosed, they're so mentally drained by this, and they just feel like they're absolutely just crazy people. I've been made diagnosed for IBS, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I turned to a nutritionist because I'm like, I can't function anymore. So it got to a point where I was on a pill for a very long period as well, because that's often told that that cures your treatment. It doesn't. Endometriosis grows when you're on a period. It just grows a little bit slower, but it still does. And it suppresses some of the symptoms. But for me, it was still very bad. So I came off the pill, which just caused A&E visits all the time. And just being told I'm crazy and stomach pain, move on. Anyway, it got really severe. And what I mean by severe is when I was on a period, few days before period, on a period, and few days after period. And bear in mind, my periods were every 2.5 to 3 weeks, which at that time I didn't know was a sign of something else. But basically, I couldn't walk. I couldn't function. I couldn't really get out of bed. You know, it was really tough. And I was a broker at that time. And being a broker and out and about in the Lloyd's market, if you're familiar with the market, you know, it's all about being on your feet. And I really couldn't, unless I was really drozed off on painkillers, but then your brain obviously switches off. So I've looked to a nutritionist, and we've done a lot of work on my nutrition because I was told it's my IBS. And she's like, there's something else. And she goes, have you heard of this thing, endometriosis? And I said, no, what is it? And that's when we kind of went, okay, well, I think that's what you have. So I went, again, lucky to have the private healthcare, which I really want to highlight. A lot of women in the insurance industry and other industries who offer private healthcare are actually covered for endometriosis treatments. It just doesn't specifically say in your cover, but you are covered, because in the UK it's not defined as a chronic illness, which is actually helpful. So anyway, I went to a specialist. She did the, well, she was a specialist, but she was also doing loads of other stuff. But we did the keyhole. She's like, yeah, you have it. It's really severe. You need at least 3 or 4 doctors, you know, to operate on you. So let's have a think about it. But if you want to get pregnant, just go and get pregnant first. So I went down that route to very quickly find out that actually the fact that my periods were so short meant that I had a very irregular cycle. And that actually meant I have no more egg reserves. Now, I was age 31, which was, you know, even the lady that was scanning me had tears coming down as she was telling me this story, right? As she was telling me the diagnosis. And until today, no one can explain if it's linked to my endometriosis or if it's some other condition. But anyway, I found out I don't have eggs. So that's not a route for me to take. So then I was like, oh, great. So I don't have eggs. I can't get pregnant. I'm in a severe pain. I can barely walk most of the month. What do you do now? Luckily, at that point, I had a job that allowed me work remotely a lot of times. So I had an agreement with my boss that when the days are very bad, I'll work remotely. And sometimes, you know, I would come into the office and suddenly get a horrible pain. And I literally had, even my male colleagues knew by then all my conditions and everything. And they would like bring me hot water bottles, and I would be just like laying there and kind of trying to work sideways. So it got worse, and I was like, okay, I need to find something. I need to find a solution. NHS at that time, and I was trying NHS. They refused because of the complexity. They really didn't know what to do with me. And that's when I start looking for Poland. So this is like 2 years since the diagnosis of an absolute nightmare. Anyway, COVID happens, Polish operation gets cancelled as well in the process. I still, my symptoms get severe. Now, out of 30 days in a month, I maybe have 5 days when I'm actually okay. The rest of it, I'm barely walking, constant UTIs. And at the same time, I'm traveling for work. You know, people, it was funny because when I finally went off to have my treatments, people said to me, I would have never known that you were suffering so badly because you had that front that you were able to push through over further and you were always positive. So I then get very involved in endometriosis, start talking about it, you know, start promoting it because I'm like, this is crazy. No one should be going through that nightmare that I'm going through here. And I look for some of my friends and cousins, doctors in the UK, because now I know what good care looks like from Poland. So I'm like, there has to be someone like that in the UK. And I come across the clinic in Harley Street with Mr. Tsepov. And, you know, I go and see him in May 2021. And straight away, he's like, yep. This is, you know, we've done the MRI scan. He's like, this is what you have. You have it on your bladder. You have it on your bowels. You have it under your diaphragm. It's severely infiltrated. You have tumors. If we're lucky, we'll have temporary stoma, you know, reconstruction of your bladder, all these kind of like massive lists, literally. And I call my insurance company and I go, I have all these 11 things that I need to be operated on. Can you cover me on it? And they go, yeah, we can. But the ultimate decision came in July when the operation was due. What do I do with hysterectomy? And the reason why hysterectomy came up is because I also had adenomyosis, which is this other condition. So I'm thinking, well, I can't have kids. If I keep my uterus, that means I'll still keep on bleeding and still be in severe pain. Yes, a lot of my symptoms will go away because we'll remove endometriosis from other places. But, you know, the periods will be still there. And I couldn't at that point face any more periods. Like, it just was not a thing. So I made a decision to have hysterectomy at the same time. I want to highlight this wasn't to cure endometriosis. Hysterectomy is a cure for adenomyosis. It is not for endometriosis, okay? But I had hysterectomy. I had, as I said, my bladder reconstructed. I had a stoma for 3 months, which was then reversed. I had it removed from diaphragm. Basically, my operation was 9 hours with 4 consultants. And it took 3.5 weeks of the recovery, then 3 months of having the stoma and kind of like learning to function with it, then having that reversed, which was another 3-4 hour operation. And then actually learning to walk and function, which took another 6 months to kind of really come back to it. Not to mention the mental part of 17 years of being told you're crazy, and then finally having your body really, you know, taken apart and put back together and told, no, you were not crazy. It was true. So long way of saying the reason why I'm telling this story is now I feel amazing. I don't have periods, so my life is wonderful. you know, the endometriosis has been removed from a lot of places where it was. So I'll give you an example. Prior to operation, I would wake on average every hour and a half to go toilet at night. And I actually had anxiety of leaving my home unless I knew exactly where the toilets were on the way because of the endometriosis in my bladder, which made my bladder very sensitive and small. Now I like sleep 7 hours nonstop, which is just incredible. Well, not since I'm a mum, but you know, but that's what it was happening. And I can actually go somewhere for 2 hours and not worry about a toilet. So groundbreaking stuff. But so I'm in this position. Having said that, in last year, where are we now? Yeah, so last year around Christmas, I started to experience a bit more like emotional feelings, jumps around cycles. So though I don't have my uterus, I still have ovaries, so the hormones are still working. I started to experience a bit of like a cramp-like feeling, which is funny because it's actually our brain remembering the pain that I used to have. It's because there's nothing there to cramp. There's no uterus, right? But I feel the cramping. And my digestion got a bit worse. And I'm like, okay, well, this is not good. So I went back to Mr. Tsepov and we did the scan. And he's like, yep, it's back. It's small, but it's back. It's back on ovaries. And that's very common. for it to return within 2 years of cutting out, because it's to do with our hormonal imbalances that are already there. So it's back, it's very mild. So as I said, I consider myself very lucky. I never knew you can live like this. I never knew people functioned the way I function these days. I did not realize how much pain I used to live in, where my pain threshold used to be and where it is now. So my story, I say, is very positive. But I know many women that their story is not that positive. And I know many women suffer in silence. Many women don't even know they have it. And once they do know, they have no way of getting the treatment, the right treatment. So it's, for me, it's great. I know that if I do get to a position where it spreads and it's really impacting my life, I can get it removed again. And unfortunately, it's just a cycle onto you menopausal, because when menopause comes in, it behaves exactly like you used to. Sort of bleeding, and you start having the internal bleed. So if the tumors are not too big, they'll actually calm down and you won't get the experience. So I consider myself lucky, but I know a lot of women don't have that. So yeah, I'll pause here.
Blown away. In fact, I'm incredibly blown away. Not because I have known you since when. When did we first start talking?
Two years, I think.
Two years. So this must have been right.
It would have been because...
Yeah, and I never knew, Sandra. Like, yeah. I never knew. And one of the things that you've just said that's, like, giving me goosebumps is, I didn't know you could live like this. I didn't know this is what living was. And I think that's something that people will resonate with, lots of people will resonate with, who have chronic illnesses, whether endometriosis or not. But your story is it's really heartwarming, but also heartbreaking at the same time. That this is happening for many, many people. What would you say? What do you say to people in a position that you were in, say, 5 years ago? What steps can they take? They assume they haven't got private healthcare. What step can somebody take now if something is not right? They think it could be endometriosis. Where do they go? What do they do?
So the first thing I always say to everyone is, don't give up. Like, trust your body. And if it's hurting and if it's saying to you there's something wrong and it's not IBS, there's something deeper to it, trust it. And I know it's hard because you are in pain and everyone is telling you you're crazy and you're not feeling that pain. Trust your kind of feeling and really tune in with your body. I would really, highlight that. Two, find a community. So depending what country you're from, there are loads of communities, endometriosis communities, and literally typing on Instagram or whatever, TikTok even starts slowly have endometriosis, but Instagram certainly has loads about it. Find your local community. There is plenty support out there. There are plenty endo sisters around. Find them. And then there is a website, which I think if you do notes, we can add it in. Or if anyone, like, please reach out to me, I'll send you. There is a website where has in the UK, it's an organization of all the endometriosis specialists who actually have to be certified and checked on a regular basis that they provide a quality care. And they list all the clinics that are registered with this organization. So I would say go onto their website, find your local clinic. There are a lot of NHS clinics. So the Guy's Hospital one, I had a sort of negative run in at the beginning. They are really good and they do specialize. My situation was very complex, which is not for this discussion, but there are specialists there. I would say don't give up. Look for care and look for the care that's suitable. The problem with endometriosis is every woman is different and every woman will experience endometriosis differently. So do not compare yourself. Find what's right for you. For some people, I know a lot of women that are on the pill and it works for them. And the endometriosis is not impacting severely their life and the pill fixes it. And if that's right for them, that's right for them. Some women do operations every 2 or 3 years and they just kind of, as I call it, like tidy up a little bit the endometriosis. and that works for them. Some women have the severe, care. So look for the specialists. Look for the specialists that specialize in endometriosis. I don't mean a generic gynecologist. An endometriosis clinic is what you want. Look for the care and speak to other women if you can. I can guarantee if you reach to any woman that talks openly about endometriosis, including myself, you know, we are always open for that conversation. You know, there are women out there, I will mention, that do natural remedies, and that works for them as well. And that's incredible. So find what works for you. There isn't one route. Make sure it's specialist and you seeing the results and it feels right for you.
Can I pop your contact details in the show notes so anybody that wants to reach out to you can do that?
Please do. Yeah, please do.
Sandra, you've blown me away. I'm so grateful to you for sharing your story. I have learned so much. I'm so grateful to you, Sandra. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Your reviews, shares and followership is incredibly valuable to us. So please like and subscribe and share and get in touch if you have anything you want to chat about.